Begin transmission.
You are listening to Corellian Run Radio, your route through hyperspace to the latest news on Star Wars: The Old Republic.
Hi, and welcome to Corellian Run Radio. This is episode 162, and recording live Sunday, April the 17th. Good grief, over halfway through April. My name is Jason. I'm joined by co-host Heather. Howdy, Heather.
Hey, Jason.
We're also happy again to have Mox on the show. Hey, Mox.
Hey, how you guys doing?
So, how you guys been? I guess we'll go with Heather. What you been up to, Heather, first?
Still not a lot of SWTOR, unfortunately. I haven't gotten around to Chapter 12 because I physically can't play Chapter 12 in Knights of the Fallen Empire because I'm the non-subscriber. But in other SWTOR community news, I did hang out with Brian of Bad Feeling Podcast and Redna today at here in town. We went to lunch at Shake Shack, and then we played this Star Wars Battle Pod arcade game.
So, oh, awesome.
Yeah. I put up an image of the two of them at the Battle Pod, and then I peeked in and took a picture of Redna while he was playing. So that was kind of fun. We all played, and we all have videos, except my video, and I think it's a vertical and not a horizontal video, unfortunately. I mean, I didn't take the video, so.
So we'd all had to turn our heads sideways or something.
Yeah, so that was fun talking to them and Bad Feeling. They've been doing it a little bit over 2 years now with their podcast.
I think
Redna said his 1 year with It's a Trap podcast will be next month on May 20th. So just a little hangout podcasters.
Star Wars of
gurus
and stuff like that. That's cool. So how was the game?
It was pretty cool. It's a huge screen, and I think the edges are rounded, so it actually feels like you're in a pod.
Oh, wow. I can see there with Redna doing it.
Yeah, it's a big screen, and the controls were easy enough, except there was this one part that me and Redna both failed where you have to destroy the exhaust valve or something. And I don't know, I couldn't figure out what you were supposed to do. I kept shooting at it and nothing was happening. Anyway, Brian played last and he got it down, so
Brian
whatever.
Brian was using the force. Use the force, Heather. So anything else over the last few weeks? We kind of switch weeks up on the podcast.
No, not much. Just not much. Life. I know, I feel like I'm so boring.
So what about you, Mox?
Well, I did some of Chapter 12. I did it on, I think, three characters. I did it on my main Mox, of course. Everything, I'm up to date with everything on her. And then I ran through it on my sniper just because I wanted to see, as you did, I know, you know, kind of how they handled the story with a non-force user. And then just yesterday I went through on my Sage.
Oh, cool. Now, I didn't get to see you run through your Sage.
Right.
And we plan on talking a little bit, but was there much difference in that one?
Just the dialogue, really. Mm-hmm. It's the dialogue is much abbreviated on the force or the non-force users. You know, because they're talking about light and dark and all that, and you know, really just isn't relevant to a at least not light and dark force. You know, light and dark choices, I guess, are relevant across the board, but you know, with the with your gun wielding classes, it just isn't something that's germane to them.
Cool. Yeah, we're going to get in a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about that when we get down in a little bit of the news. Anything else you've been doing, Mox?
In-game or out-of-game? Playing that other game that you recommended. Heroes
Waste of Time
Galaxy.
Game?
Yeah. So,
which one? Galaxy of Heroes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one.
See, Heather, you need to get in on that. Redna's on that.
Yeah, I see my boyfriend play it like all day and night, and I'm just like, get off your
phone. Totally, you need to get in it. Sometime, they said in April, now it's already halfway through, and they haven't given a date yet, but they're bringing guilds to that game and raids.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I know. It's pretty cool.
I feel like it's too late now to start because I know all these people that have played and they have all their characters up to certain levels and stuff.
Why don't you just start, this last week?
Yeah, I just started, the last week, so.
It really doesn't take that long early levels to get up there.
It doesn't, but I'll tell you, it is very repetitive. I mean, I know that your foes are, and maybe I'm just not into the, having to worry at this point yet about, the types of mobs I'm going to fight, so I don't have to, really pick the people that are going. I have my five, and that's it, and they have to go in. So I can't, really choose yet. So I guess once you have a larger squad of people to choose from, and you have to choose, your specific, the right five people to go into a fight, maybe it makes it more interesting. But right now, it is kind of repetitive. But I'm trying to stick it out and get a little further in and see if I like it.
Yeah. Once you get a few more heroes, it does change a little bit on that, so...
Oh, I do have some other Star Wars related
things. Oh, yeah? Go ahead.
Personal life. Yeah, so this local paint place where you can paint and drink, it's called Pino's Palette.
Paint and drink?
Yeah. Yeah, they nice. Have these paint things where, they get you all in a line or in a classroom, and then they teach you how to paint a picture. Anyway, from May the 4th, they're gonna teach how to paint... this a set of paintings, one that says I love you and the other one that says I know, and it's two lightsabers, but even though Han and Leia didn't have lightsabers, it's cool because it looks Star Warsy. So they're doing that for May the 4th, and so I'm gonna go do that, and hopefully I'll be posting pictures of my painting.
Well, okay, my first thing is, one, that is very cool for May the 4th. That is awesome on Star Wars Day to have something like that. But then what are you talking about? I love you, and then I know, and then you add two lightsabers?
The people organized? I got so much crap for it on Facebook, but then I was just like, well, it's fun. It's a fun thing.
That sounds pretty cool, though. Yeah, I mean...
I guess blasters are hard to paint.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the time you get to the lightsabers or weapon part, you might be a little inebriated by how many drinks you've had. So just paint a little line called the lightsaber.
Yeah, just make a line.
Yeah, make a line. They're clashing. Sounds good. As far as myself, I mean, you guys have been out and about and all kinds of stuff in SWTOR. And out of SWTOR, I, on the other hand, have been still healing up. The good news is things are healing and it's getting a lot better. I don't want to jinx it, but I'm hoping in a few more weeks, crossing fingers, I will be back in game. Oh my gosh, I cannot hardly wait. And to do any gaming on my PC, I'm going crazy. So, but yeah, just to be done with this, it'll be good. So, but that's about all for me. And other than I have also been doing the Galaxy Heroes because I'm getting ready. I'm hoping to help start the mobile UA guild on that one. So that's going to be sound like fun. So,
cool.
Yeah, something else to do. So, but speaking of gaming, let's go ahead and get into the news, shall we?
From the Newsnet and beyond.
And we kind of alluded to it earlier. Mox had talked about what he has been doing in his gameplay. And Visions in the Dark is live. Of course, many of you already know that, have been playing it. Chapter 12, that is, with a game update 4.3. It went live. So Mox talked a little bit about it. And... so, Mox, what's your opinion on it? How do you rate it as far as the chapters that you have played already?
I thought it was the best chapter yet. It gave a really in-depth and kind of personalized the choices I thought that were being made, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it from both the Force user and the non-Force user. You know, it I don't know. Are we going to talk spoilers or not?
No.
Yeah, I don't think we can really go into spoilers. I mean, we're still in the same month of it.
Yeah.
But
well, and, you know, there are just some people show up who, you know, we haven't seen in the story. And it's very, you know, we have some interactions with them. And it's very cool. One thing that I do want to say that's not spoilery, but at the end, you make an item. And I would say that because this item is something that's germane to the apparently to the apex of the whole story, and your final confrontation with Arkin, that I recommend that everybody take a peek at. Like, after you get to that point and you're about to make that item, go and look at Dulphy's site and see what your choices in that particular conversation will do to that item that you make. Because I chose, not knowing, for Mox, not knowing if there was any, you know, it was that it would be impactful what I was choosing there as far as statistically speaking and my character. So that's the only recommendation I would make in there, is that make those choices and inform choices.
Okay. What? How many chapters do we have left?
I think 16. And then we're going to have the HK little chapter thing.
So there's 16 total?
No, 16 total, yeah.
Oh, okay. So we're almost almost there.
So we're almost there. I think that'll be August when it wraps up, chapter 16. I think that.
I think Mox, I might sub up for that.
Yeah. Be kind of good. Mox, I have to commend you. You talked about that without saying anything and talked around circles. That was great. But I think you can't actually tell them what kind of item it is.
A lightsaber?
Well, it depends on
right,
your
depends
class.
On your class.
So,
but it is a weapon.
Yeah.
So. But I do, because I've got to the point I couldn't take it anymore. So I've been watching actually people go through chapter 12, and so yeah, I know I killed spoilers for myself, but I was really wanting on this one. I already knew some of it from seeing some of the trailers and stuff that BioWare put out from the Jedi Knight point of view, and I definitely could see that it was going to be geared for the Force users. So I definitely want to see a non-Force user go through it, and I watched Mox take his sniper through it, and I want to thank him for that. That was awesome to be able to watch him do that. And things I noticed, and he kind of said it in the intro there, the amount of dialogue was shortened quite a bit, at least I thought, just watching it from my point of view, between the light and dark side stuff, and because I thought it was kind of cool about how it went in and explained some of that stuff. But I guess there's certain things you do when on this place and stuff happens and you kind of learn about it anyway. But it's definitely there's also some unique mechanics that allows a player to do, because you don't have companions with you, but they make kind of a tone for that, and kind of a way that allows you to still be competitive throughout this little chapter. So
you don't need it, though, to be honest.
Right.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, everything is still super easy. Way too easy. Please, BioWare, give us a challenge. I'm begging you.
That was Mox, by the way. BioWare, that was Mox saying that. No, yeah, I have to agree. I mean, you don't want to just run through things. I did notice the terrain that I liked in there is that actually if you were kind of adventurous and were able to use the terrain, you could avoid mobs. However, there were some sneaky, we'll call them sneaky mobs that you can't avoid because they come from the shadows.
Didn't they take those away?
Well, now in this chapter, the things I noticed, the amount of mobs just popping up randomly seemed to be less. Would you say that, Mox?
Yeah, there's just certain points, trigger points, where they just make sure that you go into combat, like where you walk into an area and you're in combat. So it doesn't matter how, like from what direction you go, if you enter like a certain radius of an object you're supposed to interact with, that you go into combat. And I'm okay with that. I think as I mentioned when we talked about the stuff happening back with Firebrand, that I was okay with the random attacks. Like, to me, you know, if a building's being infiltrated and the police are coming, you know, they're going to come at random points. They're not all going to come and be sitting there waiting for you, like drinking a cup of coffee and waiting for you to ambush them. They're going to come and aggressively attack you. And I think that that kind of adds a more of a sense of danger to it.
I also think in that, because I've watched people go through that too. And actually, I went through the first part of that chapter, or the Firebrand chapter, and when I was able to go through it, it felt like, hey, I'm the Outlander. There's going to be these people on Zakuul looking for me anyway, especially the military guys. So definitely it made it seem like, okay, yeah, they might want to try to stop me. I am the Outlander, by the way. So, and then along with 4.3, We had a couple of PvP things. Of course, we had the Odessan Proving Grounds and the new Rishi Arena, the new war zone of course, the Proving Grounds. It is the King of the Hill style war zone, and it is a cross-faction, so be able to join up with other people in the other factions for this, quote, war game-like exercise. But then BioWare kind of pulled a little sneaky sneak. They slipped in Season 7 ranked PvP in this update. What do you guys think of that?
I don't think they should have snuck it in, because I don't think a lot of people probably knew about it. I didn't hear anything about it on the, you know, on Twitter or you know, just from SWTOR themselves. I don't even think I got an email from them saying Season 7 started. And it's funny, because remember when they had that one live stream that they were hyping up so much, like, this is the greatest live stream ever in the world, and then they just didn't say anything about Season 7, and they had a new Warzone. I think this is something that they should have been talking about more, especially for players that are considering coming back, like PvP players that would have wanted to play this the new Warzone and the new new Rishi. I think they should have said more about it. But I don't know, maybe they just got freaked out about hyping things up too much because of what happened the last time they tried to get excited about something.
Right. Yeah. But I kind of have to agree with you there on that, because you're talking about something that is a, quote, good thing that you're bringing in. A lot of people have been asking for Season 7 ranked a long time. When is it coming? When is it coming? And they never gave us a date. And they said, well, at this time, we don't have a date. We're going to be, and in fact, when they announced the Rishi Arena, a lot of people kind of assumed that's what when it was going to be. But then they said, well, that doesn't mean necessarily mean anything. I think even if it was like a week, you know, a few days to a week ahead of time saying, oh, by the way, are you ready for ranked Season 7? It's coming, you know, or something like that. A little blurb that would have been like, might have, you know, perked the ears of some of the regular PvPers out there that have been kind of gearing up, get their teams ready to go for the ranked. Because I know with the Unholy Alliance, we had some people that were working towards getting a ranked team together. But because we didn't know a date or anything like that, they kind of were just going back to their lobby tunes and working on that and getting some people some comms and different things like that so that they could get some of the ranked gear. So they were like kind of caught off guard on that group of people. They were more like just working on lobby stuff instead of like the high-end PvP.
Yep, so I guess they should have talked about that a little more.
Yeah, probably a little bit.
I saw this image. I didn't want to put it up because it seemed like something you'd see on a, I don't know, maybe a angry Reddit post. But oh, no. It was the number of people that logged in or participated in ranked seasons on the Prophecy of the Five server. So it went from season one or whatever, going from like thousands, and then season seven was 19.
Yeah. Well, but any of the PvP servers, pretty much the populations have been dwindled down as people have made their own little, you know, kind of server selections to other ones. So, but I probably, if you would look at that and compare some of the other servers like Harbinger, I would say the number of people in ranked has probably gone up.
So. Yeah, because everyone wants to go where the people are.
Right, exactly, because the queues pop a little faster there, so.
How do they know exactly how many people participate? By the rankings?
I think there's tools for that. I mean, they have an official ranking thing. I mean, I didn't look into it that much. I just looked at the image and said, ha ha, to myself. But yeah, I think that there are definitely ways to measure it, because you can look at everyone's ranking online. So I'm pretty sure
that... Yeah, they could probably, because you can actually, by server, you can look at the people that on the website, the official SWTOR website, you can look at people and how it breaks down that way.
Gotcha. Well, you know my motto, JT.
Right. Yeah, I know. I was about to ask you about PvP, but...
Yeah, friends don't let friends PvP.
But now, strictly from a marketing point of view, Mox, what do you say about this Season 7, kind of the ghost addition to the patch?
You know, I don't... You know, as... I think they probably should have said something, but you know, it doesn't surprise me that they didn't, because maybe they were working out, like, details the last minute and got it ready. Like, maybe it was just ready the day before and they finally got the okay from, you know, their QA person, or, you know, the empty desk that's supposed to be their QA, that said, you know, it's okay to go. And, that's one thing I am bitter with them about, is that their lack of, right. of quality, you know, checking of stuff. So gotcha. Maybe they just finally got it last minute and it just didn't make sense to do anything other than throw it into the patch notes. Yeah.
Well, I guess that kind of makes sense. I mean, you're talking, it was first of the month, and if they got the okay, go ahead and do it like that. So you give people in season 7 a full season 7, I guess, like that. So, but definitely, if you have thoughts on how season 7 ranked PvP is going, definitely send us an email and let us know. And we kind of mentioned about people making their own server transfers. Speaking of that, did everyone see that server transfers were free?
Well, I hadn't been trying to transfer any characters, so I hadn't noticed.
Yeah, I didn't either. I think it was, I noticed, I think Vasmi mentioned it, and Chinook, and, well, I guess in a manner of speaking, it turns out that there was an issue kind of going on with the servers, and let's see, Eric Musco, you know, hey folks, just to clear up any confusion, yes, server transfers did end up free for a period of a few hours last night. However, this is not a permanent change. There is also no need to panic, as this isn't a sign of a precursor to anything. We had received reports that players were experiencing problems over the past few days with character transfers. We are doing some testing with the character transfer service to resolve this issue, and the price going to zero was a side effect of that testing. Some very observant players were able to benefit from that testing. Apologies for any confusion, Eric.
You know what? I think he made it worse by saying there's no need to panic. You don't say no need to panic, because that just makes people panic.
No need to panic, this isn't
a precursor to anything. He shouldn't even have said that, because then people are going to be like, well, he's lying. This is a precursor to something. What are they testing?
Yeah. but it is typical for Bioware. They're actually testing something. Because people are having issues with, because we get on them as players, we get on them, you know, you never test all this, blah, 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 and you never address these problems. Well, they were actually addressing a problem, and it shoots them in the foot by, hey, transfers are free.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, if you got your character transferred during that time, then great.
Kudos to you. You just saved yourselves 90 cartel coins.
Yeah, so. They're still on sale, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, we had somebody who transferred two characters that day for full price, like hours before the problem.
Oh man.
So, and that is not the only thing that was Eric had to comment on. What else has been going on, Mox?
Well, the stronghold bonuses. Originally, they said, you know, we're opening up another stronghold. You're allowed to have all five of the strongholds, but you're only... Basically, whatever your highest percentage combination of four out of those five strongholds is what's going to count. So if you had three strongholds at 100% and that's it, then you'd have a 75% bonus. And that's still true, but if you go above that, so in other words, if you have four strongholds at 100% and another one halfway done, you're going to get half credit for that one, so you'll basically be at like 112.5%. So basically, each stronghold still counts as a full 25% towards your stronghold bonus. I think it's not a good thing. I don't want to say it's a bad thing. I just think it's inflation. Like, you're inflating now. So now everybody's going to need... like have higher numbers in their conquest. So if they come out with a 6-1, are we going to have 150%? You know, it just doesn't seem to make sense to me. I liked it with, you know, 25% for your top four and the other ones just whatever. But, you know, I guess they couldn't code that.
Right.
I think it also rewards players for playing the game and, you know, decorating strongholds.
Well, I kind of think it's one of those things. I think they tried to fix it to where it'd only be 100%. And for whatever reason, the math was not working out when they opened up to have the fifth stronghold. They just couldn't change code. And probably they would have had to change how all the conquest stuff was working. And if you remember, it wasn't too long ago that they were having all the issues with conquest points being rewarded and stuff like that. So I think let's not mess with that coding and stuff like that. Let's just go ahead and say right now it's going to probably be 125%, and that's what you're going to get, you know. Because each stronghold, when they had four, was rewarding, just like Mox said, 25%. So If you decorate the fifth one, you're going to just get 25% for it anyway. So it's going to give you an added little bonus for that. So, but, you know, when the sixth one comes out, I would imagine if they open that up, I would imagine that they would probably redo it at that point. So.
Oh, so basically they're just deflecting or postponing the flames.
Probably. I would say right now it was just, well, would you rather have a positive reward for players or conquest be screwed up? I'm guessing here right now. I would say, you know, go on the side that kind of rewards the players is probably the way they decide to go on that. So,
yeah,
but I'm guessing. So.
Yeah, I noticed it because I sent Jess a message and said, you know, why is my stronghold bonus 112%? This isn't making sense. And then, like, the very next day, Eric posted that. So I just think that it's just going to cause – because now the people are going to expect that extra 25% every time they have a stronghold added in, and it's just going to cause issues down the road.
Yeah, potentially. I can see that. But there for a while, when you get the sixth stronghold come out, they're just going to keep it at five for a while anyway. And then it'll be wait until we get a seventh one, and then it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, now you can have six of them.
So. I don't know. I get the idea that they're going to allow us to have every – like if you purchase strongholds, you can have them. That's what, I mean, right now we have five available. We have five. So I can't see why they would go back to the we're adding a stronghold in, but you have to deactivate another one.
Right. Yeah, well, that's true. I doubt they'll roll back, but who knows? I guess we'll have to stay tuned and find out.
Yeah.
And, of course, things we have to stay tuned for, BioWare announced Chapter 13, Profit and Plunder. That's the title for the upcoming chapter. It'll be coming out May the 5th, and I think that's regular release. I don't think that's the early access. I think early access would be the 3rd then.
Now you're making me pull up my calendar.
I know, right? Come on, Mox, work for them.
Yes, it would probably be May the 3rd.
That's what I was thinking. So May the 5th is the official launch date, and then we will go May the 3rd, the early access there. And there's the picture. Heather's got that up there. That is the picture that was on the website. And two familiar characters are in this one, Vet and Galt. They're both back.
Yeah.
Both in the story child. That's kind of cool.
I hear Vet has an assault cannon.
Yes. So, yeah, we got a link to the YouTube video because you see her here. She's got two pistols. And also, I hate to say this, but it kind of looks like she's had a nose job. I mean, there's a little work there. I mean, maybe disguise. I don't know. But yeah, Vet's back. And she has two pistols there, which everybody is familiar with having Vet as a companion. That looks, you know, the way she did. And in the video, she whips out this big assault cannon. So I don't know what's going on there.
She's I hope they explain that in the story and she doesn't just, like, bring out an assault cannon, like, you know.
Say hello to my little friend.
Yeah, but Jorgen all of a sudden became a sniper and nothing was said about that.
Well, he was a sniper with the dead eyes. Oh, there, I'm giving away some of Eric Jorgen stuff.
Oh, that's
if you haven't played a trooper class, though, anyway, come on, seriously. But he's a dead
was
with
class
dead eyes.
As a companion was trooper.
Right. Right.
And all of a sudden now he's a sniper companion.
Well, we're not. I mean, really, if we go about weapons, I mean, the trooper whips out a pistol all the time in cutscenes. So.
she respect.
Oh, she respect. Yeah.
And change class.
Rerolled.
Yeah.
Reroll.
Yeah, during that 5 years, you know. Was it 5 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
5 years you were. She rerolled. That's the way they work and stuff like that. But actually, I'm kind of cool. It's a 27-second little tease trailer, and Galt starts out with, I've got the perfect plan, and I think that's awesome because he's always like that. He's scheming to try to get, you know, money or whatever job done, so I kind of think that's kind of cool. So I remember when they announced this during the live stream, the dev stream, boy, everybody went insane because Vet was coming back. Not too many people went insane for Galt, but... everybody was happy to see Vet back. So. And, of course, we're talking about this, you know, how many chapters we have left. So this will be chapter 13, so we'll just have
June,
you know,
July, 14, and 15, August.
Yeah, with three more.
Yeah.
There's a lot of companions that still to come back, right? We're going to have like
chapter 2 here. Yeah. You know, it's yet to be seen whether they'll stay with us as companions or, you know, if there will be a choice involved with that.
Plus the little alliance missions, you might say.
Right, but we and we're getting Bodar next.
That's right, too, because the Eternal Champion got recruitment thing got moved back.
Right. Now, you have to, interestingly enough, I saw in the notes that you have to complete the Eternal. You have to beat all 10 bosses in order to recruit Bodar.
Right. Yeah.
So I wonder if that's you have to beat them or if you have to beat them solo. It'll be interesting to see. Because that's like one of those things, like with Star Fortress, you can go in there solo or you can go in with somebody else, you know, so does it, you know, how does that count? It'll be interesting to see what the, you know, what the options are there. I played the Eternal Championship on the PTS and got up to, I think, the seventh one, and, my gear just didn't let me, get beyond that.
Right. Now, they made some changes.
Incompetence, too. Don't get me wrong here. It could totally be player incompetence, but I could not get past the seventh one at my gear level and my skill level.
Yeah. I was Blacklock, and I was trying to think who else was talking about it, and they've already made, before PTS got shut down, which PTS is now officially shut down. Thank you, BioWare, for letting us test that. I hope that a lot of the stuff that came out of that will make a lot of cool changes for when that goes live. But, they were talking, those two guys were talking about the changes they made to some of the higher-up bosses. I think it was 7 and 8, if I remember correctly. There was a couple bosses they changed, so, but I think that's going to be interesting.
Just for, info, Mox, where's your gear at so people can kind of judge where their gear's at and if they could get through the Eternal Championship? I know it's still in the process of development, but maybe we can get an idea.
It was supposed to be challenging and supposed to be for, you know, the higher level skill levels are supposed to be for people with the higher, you know, better gear and such. And Mox has a mixture. She has like a totally across the board, everything from 224s down to 208. So she's got, you know, but it's the majority is like in the 216 ish range.
Okay.
So, and some, you know, still, there's a fair amount of 2-8s, and I forget if she has set bonuses or not. So that, like, all those things are things I need to work on. I really, since December, have not even wanted to think about doing any ops. So when I do go, I generally don't get too much gear. I just pass on it, let the other people who are interested get it. So maybe I just need to go and get some gear.
Right.
And how many levels are there in the Eternal Championship?
It's 10.
Yeah.
10 bosses in it.
Okay, right. So... So maybe, like, if you are at level 10 or something, you should have super top-tier gear. I mean, it should be designed that way, that if you want to get through that one, you should have optimized perfect
gear. I also think that, it depends on going through it. There are definitely some – I've watched some people go through that when they're on PTS, so there was definitely some people streaming that. If you didn't go by the mechanics – and it's a juggling act because, again, our companions are not that bright. And so they stand in stupid. So you really have to maneuver your companions, like switching them to passive so they move and come towards you. And it's like, okay, now you can attack or whatever like that. But the mechanics are something that as a player, there's like when you get that, it's like a operations boss. Once you figure out the little tricks you have to do, I think that was a thing with some other people. It's some of that is factors in that too, besides gear. So. But it'll be good to see that added to the game, and that is also coming in the next chapter, correct?
Yeah, right. It's coming in May.
Coming in May. So, you guys see anything else that you saw coming in the news? Anything you guys else want to comment on?
Not as far as the game is concerned, no.
All right. Well, how about we flip it over and head into the community buzz? And in the community buzz, everybody, I don't know, well, I can't say everybody because I came across somebody who hadn't seen it, but have you guys all got your versions of Star Wars The Force Awakens?
No, because I usually don't.
Oh my gosh.
I don't usually buy movies ever. I always just stream something and I'm...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't like to purchase movies.
Did you get a digital copy?
If I'm ever going to get a version of The Force Awakens, it would be a digital copy.
Gotcha.
But at the moment, I'm just... I usually just don't buy copies of anything.
How about you, Mox?
Yeah, I got the only one that's worth buying, I think.
Which one was that?
The Target one.
Target one.
Yeah, because it has bonus content. I'm not going to sit and look at the packaging, which is what the other ones were offering was, right. Special packaging with BB-8 and one, with I forget what it was. But they just that didn't interest me. First of all, I was annoyed at the whole idea of having different versions. You want to do different boxing of it, that's fine. But I think they should all come with the same content. If you're paying the same price, you should get the same content.
I agree on that.
I didn't compare prices, but since it was the only one with the bonus content, I went with the Target version.
Right. Yeah, I went with that one too. Now, did you get yours in the store?
No, I got mine I got two copies of it in the mail. That was a mix-up on Target.com, but ended up having to return one and ended up with two copies. But yeah, I got it shipped to me. I didn't do the day of delivery because I wasn't willing to pay almost double the price for that, which again, Amazon, you order something on Amazon, you pay regular shipping or whatever, for something on release day, you get it on release day.
Right.
But I got it the next day, so I wasn't that upset for, $5 extra shipping.
Yeah, exactly. I went with the Target one also. When I got mine, I was a little, granted for the bonus content, it was really good. The thing is, I didn't like the packaging it came in. Because they advertise, you get this little artwork. Well, the artwork they were talking about with the characters, it was the packaging.
Right.
I was like, what? Are you kidding me? And it's just a cardboard fold-up thing. So.
Yeah.
Of course, I think that's everybody, like Heather's, a lot more people are going to the digital version. So. But, so that was the version that everybody, of course, I'm sure that many people have already got their copies up there. I've got it and already been watching it. How many times have you guys watched how many times you watch yours?
Mox? I lost count. It's really good. I really enjoy it. I think it's really super well done. And don't get me wrong, I enjoyed the prequels for the, just for the entertainment factor of them when they came out, blocking out Jar Jar as much as possible. I saw the, I can't even think of the name of it, the Star Wars one, like 9 times in the theater, like 3 times on opening day. So that's how starved I was at that point.
The Phantom Menace,
that one. And I understand the drawbacks of it and how bad it was, in comparison and all that stuff. And how, everybody feels Lucas was kowtowing to Disney and all that stuff. I get all
right.
That. But
when you need your Star Wars fix, you need your Star Wars fix.
Exactly. Right. And so, I've watched it a lot. There's been one part of it I've watched probably 15 times in the last 3 days because of our, subsequent conversation we're going to have here, just kind of get the full feeling of it. So, yeah.
So I guess we can go on going into that, Mox. So what part have you been watching several times?
Well, the vision, Ray's vision, and we said we wanted to have a chat about kind of the importance of that. What does that all mean? And look at the various elements of it. And I learned a lot, I have to say, in this. I didn't remember, and thank you, Heather, for putting up the picture there, that very first hallway that Ray is in.
Mm-hmm.
In her vision when she goes and touches this. So to clear up any confusion, it's the part where Rey is in Maz Kanata's palace and she goes down and gets, in the middle of the discussion, she kind of gets a call or somebody hears somebody saying her name and she goes down into the basement and up to a door that's locked and it pops open, without her doing anything, just her kind of her presence. And then of everything that's in there, she's drawn to this chest that's in there and she opens it up and boom, there's a lightsaber in there. And she picks it up and her vision happens. So that's kind of the scene that we're kind of going over here. And the very first thing is this scene where she's in a hallway and it's kind of like this triangular-ish hall. And I didn't realize that it was what it was. And I come to find out, hey, that's Cloud City and on Bespin, and that's where Luke and Vader are fighting, and they fought in that hallway. And so she's seeing that, and she hears Vader breathing. Super powerful thing. And I knew the visions were powerful, but I just didn't catch a lot of it in the theater. took the book, had to go back to the book to reference it, and had to watch it several times, and even turn on the closed captioning to catch the text that's in there.
Right. Of course, we had set out that we wanted to talk about Rey's visions and stuff like that, so definitely I like that, the fact that she had these. Although it was kind of puzzling that she'd have it, other than, I guess, you know, the Force moves in mysterious ways. So she was drawn to this lightsaber. Of course, if you've not seen the movie, shame on you, because I'm going to say it. It's not just any lightsaber. It's Luke Skywalker's from the fight there on Cloud City, is the way I understand it. And somebody was able to retrieve that, and it wound up getting in Maz's hands, where she kept it safe. So that's interesting that she was drawn to a lightsaber. I definitely thought that was interesting. And the fact that it picked up this battle between Luke and Vader. Actually, it was Luke's first battle with Vader. So,
and this is where he lost the saber. Right. Like, and he finds out that Vader's his father, and his hand gets cut off, and that saber goes crashing down, you presume, down to Bespin. Like, what kind of? I don't know what kind of planet Bespin is. You have this Cloud City, but is it? It's obviously a mining planet, but is it solid? Is it? Are they mining gases? Like, how did that lightsaber go from being cut off of his out of his hand, basically, and end up there? Like, you know, so many years later.
Mm-hmm. Or did they get caught in some duct there on Cloud City? So.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah. And that's the thing. Actually, Maz addresses that, you know, because Han asked her later, you know, how did you get that? She goes, that's a long story for another time. So I'm like, hey, tell us now. Something like that in the credits. Whatever. Tell us.
Yeah, it's a story I'd like to, you know, would not mind hearing. Now, in the background of this scene with the Bespin Cloud City hallway, there's a couple things are happening in the background that either you have to have super great hearing, or you have to kind of look at the subtitles, which I did. First of all, you hear Rey in there saying, a young Rey saying no. And then you also hear Yoda beginning to talk in that scene, saying, its energy surrounds us and binds us. Obviously talking about the Force.
Right.
And then the final thing that you hear, I think, is Luke yelling no. They say it says an unidentified man, but it, to me, it sounds exactly like him when he screams no, when he finds out, you know, I'm your father, and he screams right. No. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. I think that's, got that.
Yeah, that's that. Like, all that is tied into there, and so it's kind of like going back to the, like, you know, this is where this lightsaber came from.
Right. And then, so moving on from the Cloud City area, the next one they come across is another familiar character, R2. R2 is there, and then you see a hooded figure.
I think that's Luke.
With a hand, yeah. And so I think we can safely assume that is Luke there with his mechanical hand. Do we know where this is? Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
I think the popular conception is that it is during post slaughter by the Kylo Ren Knights, and it kind of puts it out of order. The book has this in a slightly different order, if I remember.
Right.
The book has the scene 3 before scene 2. It has the Knights of Ren showing up, and then it has Luke with R2. So I think it is after the slaughter by the Knights of Ren of Luke's followers. And I think, and this is going to go back to something you guys talked about earlier on the podcast, like R2 and why was he shut down? I think Luke purposefully put R2 into low power mode, or gave him instructions at this time, so that he could go into seclusion, and that when there was need, R2 would, power back up and save the day, so to speak.
Yeah, I was wondering if Luke is going out and about, and we know he's on some type of journey. We're not exactly sure why. Some people believe going to the First Temple, but could he be visiting a planet maybe that Anakin/Vader had been before? You know, something like that. You know, I mean, we see some fire and stuff like that. We don't know where that is. Could he be Mustafar? I've heard some people say maybe he's there, but wherever his journey is taking him, I definitely agree. I think it's after the whole Knights of Ren kind of aspect on that. So it's interesting. And we talked about it a little bit there earlier before the show about the thing you were mentioning about R2, about being in low power mode. So if Luke put him in there and why exactly, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah, and the question would be, so how did the map get split? Why does the Empire have part of it in their database? Mm-hmm. And, like, did R2 get that map when he interfaced, like, way back in A New Hope? Did he just happen upon that information when he connected to the Imperial Network? Like, I would think that, honestly, R2's awesome, but, you know, does he really have the storage capacity to download the entire Imperial Network onto his...
Oh, sure he does.
So he is like a couple.
He totally zip drive it, man.
All memory,
he put it in a
right?
zip drive, man.
Totally has room for that. I mean, he's pretty big. I'm sure he has room.
Totally zipped it, man. They had no problem. Now, so, when he extracted it, that's why when it's in low power mode, it was the whole extracting process.
Oh, is that it? Unzipping?
It took a while.
His hourglass was screaming. Right.
Luke told him to start unzipping, and see, that's been the whole time. And then ding, your file is now ready.
That's
and so he comes on. Oh, yeah, I got the map. It. Hey, where's Luke? I don't know.
Yeah.
So what's the next one? The
Knights of Ren, in the movie, the Knights of Renslaughter is the next scene.
Mm-hmm.
And Obi-Wan is actually heard here, and it's Ewan McGregor saying some lines that he was, you know, obviously asked to do for the movie. He says something along the lines of, "The Force will be," and just leaves it. Like kind of hanging there, and again you hear young Rey yelling no.
Right.
And you know, and I hope we find out someday, like, what happened to the rest of the Knights of Ren? Like, so obviously they participated in the slaughtering. Were some of them Luke's students that were corrupted by Kylo? Were some of them, like, or did Luke fight some of them and kill them? You know, we don't know any of this stuff.
Right.
And why is Kylo the last of the Knights of Ren?
Right.
Maybe
I don't know that he's
the
last.
Rest of them.
Right. I think.
And who is Ren? Like Knights of Ren. So who's obviously they're like? Are they? Is there, they named
Kylo Ren?
Him?
I mean, right, Kylo Ren. Right. I think it's because.
Or
of
is him. There somebody else who he was? You know, took the namesake of.
Right. I think that when he took that name, I think they went under his banner. I believe that what you were talking there. I think that is some of the Jedi that he corrupted. And it took a point of corrupting, and then it was like, okay, now we have this group of people, now we can take on Luke and some of the other Jedi. I think
there's that one part of there where you see the obviously taller, you know, older guy in the scene getting the lightsaber impaling
right
from behind.
Well, and you got to remember what's Kylo Ren's whole thing. He wants to be Vader. What it was Vader's big thing that he did in, you know, episode 3 in the Jedi Temple. Went through and slaughtered everybody who was in there, even younglings. So Kylo Ren and his little group is just playing out that same scenario with these new Jedi. They're right. Going through and slaughtering them all. So I think it's interesting that not only is it interesting these visions, but interesting what she is seeing. Because not only is she seeing that, so she's seeing... Up until this point, she has seen all things in the past, and not even her past, various people's past and stuff like that. You know, mostly
right.
It looks like to be Luke's past. But then, after the Knights of Ren, she actually gets almost a premonition of the vision of Kylo Ren in the woods.
Right. Well, after she sees herself being left on Jakku
right.
with Unkar Plot.
Right.
So, you know, so you hear her young self yelling, no, no, and then you see her yelling, no, when she's being left on Jakku right. with him and he's telling her to be quiet. So there's something in her past. And then it goes on to, finally, the encounter on Starkiller Base.
Yeah, and it's these last two, I mean, like you said, they're both her memories.
And her foreshadowing.
Right, exactly. Like some of her history and then this... I guess you'd just say premonition or foreshadowing, like you said, you know, which I think is interesting. It went from things in Luke's thing to now this is her. So do we think this was kind of, I don't know, download here, history or whatever for her, plus, you know, Luke went through the cave there on Dagobah. Was this Rey's kind of cave, so to speak?
That's a good point. I mean, at the end, you hear, and this actually is Sir Ian saying her name in that, when she's seeing that encounter with Kylo on Starkiller Base in the woods. Obi-Wan says Rey, and as she's kind of falling out of the vision, and you know she falls on her backside, Obi-Wan says, "These are your first steps."
Right.
So obviously, you know, I don't know if they're saying these are your first steps, as in your first steps were, you know, kind of you know, seeing this stuff and like understanding that who's come before you, or if it's, you know, this encounter is going to be your first steps towards awakening yourself, because it's not long after this that she actually tries actively to use the Force when she's with Kylo in that cell.
Right.
But all these things are really cool, but it is interesting to note this is not Rey's first interaction with the Force. And when Kylo is interrogating her, he says to her, "I see it. I see the ocean and the island."
Mm-hmm.
Where did she find Luke? Right. On an island in the ocean.
Well, you know, I think that she had, maybe that was part of the vision we didn't see on the screen.
I think it's like from her dreams. I think she dreams about that. And I think that it's like, because I don't think that he, like, they would have shown that. Like, they would have, like, you know, they kind of showed everything else. Why wouldn't they have shown that if that was supposed to be part of the vision?
I think they cut off part of the vision in the movie anyway.
Yeah, I haven't watched the deleted scenes yet. Would be interesting to see if there's anything added to there. Of course, they may not have wanted to show the island yet anyway. I don't know. But yeah, that is kind of true, that she sees the island or something like that.
Right. Like, when did she see it? Like, right. I assume it had to be in a dream somewhere, and she just doesn't realize it.
That, or maybe Kylo, excuse me, when he was, you know, going probing her mind, that he stumbled upon something that maybe she didn't even know that she had dreamt about.
Oh, I agree. I don't think she knew that this was from the Force, and that, you know, she was like getting a premonition of where she was going. She probably just thought it was a dream of an island.
Right.
So all very interesting. And I
all
think
very interesting.
That it, you know, knowing that, like, and hearing Yoda in there, and you know, knowing that the, you know, a lot of this comes from her, like her yelling no. You know, she clearly was not happy about being left on the planet as a child, and you know, has anxiety about being away from there. So it will be interesting to see, you know,
there it goes.
You know, who comes. I still firmly believe in that she's not a Skywalker. I do not think she's a Skywalker. I think she's a Kenobi.
Matt, actually, that's my theory too. I think she is. The accent. It's one thing in Star Wars that accents are a big deal, and Kenobi's outside of, you know, the Empire, you rarely get that, what we would say is a sort of British accent. You don't get that very often. It's and Kenobi happens to have that accent, so
right.
It would be definitely interesting where that goes. But yeah, the speculation that you can do with these visions and stuff like that, I think that's what's really cool. There's so many unanswered questions in The Force Awakens that we could spend, like, hours upon hours, you know, debating of what we think it is, which I think is cool. It's kind of what they wanted, because people are, like, talking about this and talking about the movie, watching the movie again and again and again, and then it's like they're just waiting for the next movie to try to answer these questions. So it kind of leaves you that needing that next fix, exactly, like we were talking about earlier. So needing that next hit. But now, the one thing, do you like the visions as opposed to a Force ghost, like actually talking to Rey or somebody?
I think each serves its own specific purpose.
Right.
Like, this, clearly to me, this is the Force talking to Rey,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to Obi-Wan wanting to impart some knowledge to, say, Luke.
Gotcha.
You know, and that whole, you know, Force ghost versus, you know, versus dying thing is interesting. Like, you know, why are they still quote unquote alive? Are they still sentient? Is, you know, I don't know how that all works, obviously.
Yeah.
It's cool though.
You'd have to watch Clone Wars and the final season, and Yoda actually, it's cool. It's how Yoda learns to do that. And actually how you can, after you pass away, basically you keep the midichlorians, they pass on into the Force, but there's a way that you actually keep the midichlorians bound and keep your kind of knowledge all together and your being in a way. So, and then actually you are sentient, so you have to go through all that special, went through all this special training. It was kind of cool. So, yes, I'm a nerd. I go through all this stuff.
It's okay. Let me know how that seminar goes for you.
I know, right? So, yes, we've kind of went off a little tangent. We have the Star Wars Force Awakens coming out on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital. We thought we'd go into a little bit of this. So, definitely that's our take on kind of Rey's visions and stuff like that. Do you think these visions and stuff are going to carry over into the other movies, Heather?
Yeah, definitely. I think they'll probably be at maybe... I don't know if they'll be adding more to the vision, but maybe they'll explain it a little bit more, or she'll figure out more things about them as the trilogy, I'm assuming, goes on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
What's your thoughts, real quick, Heather, on Rey's lineage?
Well, I've been reading a lot of articles about this subject, and for a while I was thinking that she was Han and Leia's daughter. But I read something that said, I forgot who said it, but they said that Rey's parents aren't in episode 7. So, So I don't know if that's a big spoiler or if maybe it's like a trick statement, you know? But okay. I feel like she has some kind of relation with Kylo Ren, and it really seems more like a brother-sister thing, because he seems really concerned about who this girl is and about, you know, showing her the Force. I mean, yeah, of course he's fighting her, but he doesn't seem to want to, like, kill her. He wants to bring her over to his side, like Darth Vader.
Or, let's throw out a little thing. We mentioned the Empire and the accent stuff. What if it's a student that was being hidden for the Empire on Jakku? She ends up turning evil. Dun, dun, dun.
I hope not.
Yeah. But just still a twist out there.
Daisy really did say, and I'm excited for this, that the next movie is darker, which would follow the kind of the sequence. I know they're not trying to mirror the original trilogy, but, you know, that kind of is kind of how things went. It was.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. I really, this is my thing. I want Kylo Ren to stay evil and bad. I think his thing, he actually chose the dark side. I think that is a great move for a character. You know, let him remain the bad guy.
I hope he matures. He's too freaking whiny right now. And I know that all the girls are like, oh my God, he's so cute, blah, blah, blah. He's a little bee.
Yeah.
Throws temper tantrums. Like, Vader would have killed somebody. Somebody comes to give bad news, a prisoner escaped, he would have killed him. Like, do that. If you really want to be like Vader, then be like Vader was at that point.
I don't think he's cute at all.
Now, there are those out there that are totally fangirling over him.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Poe Dameron's a lot more attractive than
Listen,
him.
Okay, he's you heard it here first.
You heard it here.
You heard it here. Poe Dameron is hot. So
there's people that are speculating about him and Finn as a couple.
Oh, I think that's just you know, they're bros. I don't think there's anything at all with that.
Right.
We'll see.
If any speculation with Poe Dameron, I would say he is the next one that will have Force sensitivity.
Oh,
it's what helps him become such a good pilot. So I think that's going to have to wrap up our Star Wars A Force Awakens talk, like right now, or we could just be here for days, I think, talking about this stuff. I mean, going back and forth, but let's go on into the quick mentions. And many of you know that Casual Core Radio, we have kind of help them guys out and put those in our articles and stuff like that. And however, Casual Core Radio is saying goodbye to Drew, a.k.a. Gildarian. He definitely is a friend and former co-host here at Corellian Run. And we want to wish Drew all the best in his galactic endeavors as he is going to take this extra time and get away from podcasting right now to spend on school and stuff like that. So, but never fear, Casual Core Radio is still going to go on. And in fact, if you are interested in possibly joining Joe to talk about MMOs, head over to casualcoreradio.com and click on the Contact Us tab. There you can find out the information on how to email them and send off basically, I guess, kind of a short little resume and to let Joe know if you're interested in not about being a potential co-host. So,
the Star Wars original trilogy is coming back to 20 cities in a special format. And I have a list of triple feature dates and cities. It looks like there's none in Las Vegas. So, boo.
Boo.
But there's four in Austin, so whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
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 Austin. The Austin ones are actually split. They're like most of these are triple features. So, like, if you go to San Francisco on August 6th, you're going to see all three movies. The Austin ones are actually broken up into single movies, one a day, as opposed to being a triple feature for whatever reason.
Gotcha.
Oh, okay, okay. So there's actually, it's just one triple feature with 3 days. But there's there's a triple feature right there in San Antonio, so whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree. There's not one in Chicago or Indy for T and I, so.
I was really surprised about not having one in Chicago. That was kind of surprising.
Don't you guys have
Indianapolis.
The Lucas thing over there, the Star Wars.
That actually, really quick, I read something about that. Apparently the land is tied up in like some court battle, like federal court battle, like with environmentalists and stuff. Oh, so they're proposing a second site. So that is actually kind of on hold at the moment.
Oh, good.
For the Lucas Museum, rather. Visual Arts Museum.
Wow. But definitely, we will put a link in the show notes to have all those dates for the trilogy and live. You can see that on the big screen in 20 cities. So that's going to be kind of cool. Whether it is a triple feature or broken up, as we mentioned in some of the other theaters, we definitely want to check that out. And also, we'll give a shout out to the Have a Nice Day cast guys. Episode 1 and 2 of their new podcast is out. That is awesome. Congrats, Knight and Scent, on that. And be sure to follow those guys. And we'll have the links to their Twitter. They are on Twitter now. Definitely
That's
check
awesome.
It. That is awesome. So you want to definitely check out their insight in the PvP. And you can follow their podcast at Have a Nice Day. That's one word. .podbean.com.
Is it Have a Nice Day Cast? .podbean?
Have a Nice Day. Yes. Have a Nice Day Cast.
Okay. We'll have it in our show notes.
We'll have it in the show notes, so you guys can definitely check over there and follow them.
All right, and also if you want to get your guild or your podcast or some kind of SWTOR project notice and you want to announce an upcoming event, why not contact us about being on a guild ready check? If you're interested, send an email to corellianrun@gmail.com or heather@prettylittlesith.com. Thanks to those guilds who have contacted us, and stay tuned for new guild ready checks and guests on the show.
Please take a moment to leave us a positive feedback on iTunes, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, or your favorite podcast app.
If you'd like to contact us or have any questions or ideas for discussion topics, email us at corellianrun@gmail.com. You can also follow and tweet us on Twitter @corellianrun. My personal Twitter handle is @heather_PLS. Jason is @JT_HollowNet. And Mox is @FortWorthJim.
If you're on Facebook, like our Facebook page and or join the Facebook group. You can also leave a voicemail on our website at www.corellianrun.com or on our Facebook page that could possibly be featured on the show. You know, that's the second time in a row I messed that up.
Just rewrite it for you.
It could be featured on the show. We need to take the word possibly out, and that would be great. Finally, if you'd like to be a writer or submit content for our website, send an email to Jason @corellianrun.com. @gmail.com. Boy, I need help.
that's going to wrap it up for us here at Carolina Radio. Thanks to everybody that joins us in the chat room. Thanks to the host by Larry Everett there at Hyperspace Beacon. I want to thank all our fans, followers, and loyal listeners for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Jason.
I'm Heather. May the Force be with you. Or keep those blasters by your side, kid.
You've been listening to Carillion on Radio, a Star Wars Old Republic podcast. Tune in next time to hear Heather say,
I didn't think of anything to say at the end. What do I say?
I think that'll work.
Ray, this is your first steps.
Oh, there we go.
No. No. I can say that.
No.
I can say, let me just give you a bunch of sound bites. Poe Dameron is attractive? Oh, no, that's a question mark, though. All right, well, we'll figure it out.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See you later, guys.
And transmission.